Merry Christmas. It's great to be here this Christmas morning. For those who are visiting, welcome. My name is Sammy, and we're glad that you have joined us as we come and celebrate this great day yet again, even in this uncertain time. So I'm going to start off by praying for us. And I'm going to read Jesus' prayer, and then I will jump in and tell us where we are going this morning. So let me read Jesus' prayer for us. And this is a prayer that Jesus prayed for his disciples. Now, it's a long prayer, so I'm not going to read all of it. I'm going to read the part that pertains to us, those who were to be left later. So it's John chapter 17. I'm going to read from verses 20 to verses 26. It reads as thus: I do not ask on behalf of these alone. This is Jesus talking about his own disciples. So Jesus is praying, talking to his Father, and he has just mentioned to his Father that the Lord would sanctify his disciples with the truth, with the word. And he's saying that he does not ask on behalf of these alone, but for those who will believe in me through their word, that's us, that they may all be one, even as you, Father, are in me and I in you, and they also may be in us, so that the world may believe that you sent me. The glory which you have given me, I have given to them, that they may be one, just as we are one, I in them and you in me, and they may be perfected in unity, so that the world may know that you sent me and loved them, even as you loved me. Father, I desire they also, whom you have given me, be with me where I am, so that they may see my glory which you have given me, for you loved me before the foundation of the world. O righteous Father, although the world has not known you, yet I have known you, and these have known that you sent me. And I have made your name known to them, and I will make it known, so that the love with which you have loved me may be in them, and I in them. Let me pray for us. Dear Lord, we are so grateful, even as we read through your word and hear that prayer that you prayed for us, Lord, that, Lord, your intent was always to make known the Father to us. Your intent was always to redeem relationship. You came down to earth with that end in mind, and we're so grateful for that, that we can be one with you, that we can be drawn into you, that we can be brought near to you. And so, Father, I pray again, Lord, this morning, that your word would serve to illuminate who you are, Jesus, that we would believe you through the word that was written to us, given to us by those that you left for us. So even as we read again this morning through the Gospel of John and work our way through it, Lord, I pray, would you, Father, again, light up our hearts, light up the eyes of our minds, our ears, that we would listen, that we would hear, and that we would change, Father, that we would be changed by your word, Lord. And so, Father, even this Christmas morning, Lord, as we celebrate your birth, help us be reminded why it is that you came. Help us remember, Father, that you have come so that we can be with you, that we can be in you. And we're thankful for that in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. So when I was preparing for this Christmas message, once I knew that I was going to be tasked with it, I started to begin to think. It's been such an interesting year. I think I said this when we were last celebrating downstairs then a few weeks ago, that it's been a very difficult year. And I was talking about just how God uses suffering to draw us near to him, to highlight that which is important, that suffering tends to burn away the dross. And that the Holy Spirit uses it in that way, which is a gift to us. But another task of the Holy Spirit is to highlight who Jesus is for us. And so I couldn't help but ask, but land at that place. If you are a person who writes what the title of a sermon is, the one I couldn't help but think of is, who is this Jesus that the Holy Spirit highlights? Who is this Jesus? And I think that's a great question for a Christmas morning. Who is this Jesus that we are here to celebrate? Who is he? Now, of course, in the church, it always seems weird to ask such a question. I'm sure you're saying to me, Sammy, you're preaching to the choir. We know who Jesus is. But lest we forget, we are easily forgetful. We are easily forgetful. We must constantly go back and find out and ask ourselves this question. And the reason I ask the question is it's the one question that Jesus asked the most. And I think sometimes we are in danger of asking it the least. He constantly asks his disciple, who do people say that I am? Who do you say that I am? When he meets with the Samaritan woman, he asks her, do you know who you're talking to? Even at his trial, Pilate asks, are you the king of the Jews? The Sanhedrin, when they were busy challenging him, they asked, Jesus' identity is so crucial. Who is he? Who do you say he is? Who do you believe him to be? That question is littered all across the Gospels, especially the Gospel of John. It's an important, important question. And today, as we go through John chapter 1, you will begin to see why this question is so important and why your answer for it is even more. And we go nowhere else except God's Word, as you heard in the prayer. You have to be sanctified by this truth. God's word is truth. We want to be sanctified by it. And it is this word that we were given by those he left behind. And Jesus prays for us and says, I don't just pray for them, I pray for you too. And so let's dive in. And with that in mind, with the background of who is this Jesus? Who is this Jesus? So John chapter 1. Our main focus, if you've read through the Gospel of John already, chapter 1, it's a very, it's one that we go to a lot, but the main focus is going to be in verse 14. So I'm going to read for us from verses 14 all the way to verses 18. It reads thus, for the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we saw his glory, the glory as of the only begotten from the Father, full of grace and truth. John testified about him and cried out, saying, this was he whom I said, he who comes after me is a higher rank than I, for he existed before me. For of his fullness we have all received grace upon grace. For the law was given through Moses, grace and truth was realized through Jesus Christ. No one has seen God at any time. The only begotten God who is from the bosom of the Father, he has explained him. So the Gospel of John, especially the first chapter of John, the book of John was written by John, not the Baptist, but the disciple, the one at whom, when Jesus is dying, says to his mother, Mother, behold your son, and looks at this John, whom he really, really loved, He says, John, behold your mother, as he died. This is the John who writes this gospel, and he writes quite differently from the other gospels. But John starts the book of John quite very similarly to how he starts 1 John, by the way, but very similarly also to how you see Genesis start. And I think that's important because for people asking who is Jesus, there's a few types of people. And I'm first going to address the ones who mostly don't even begin to believe in God, which is the atheists. I doubt there's those among us, but since we are online and streaming, maybe there are those who might be listening and say, I really don't even believe in God. I don't even believe in God. And I think the Bible and also the book of John doesn't start the narrative there. I think that is a place where the Bible says to us, it assumes it, that God created, that he's always been there. He's always been there. So to the atheist, and you see this is the trouble with atheism and wanting to push away, is that you don't always go back to the beginning. And that's where the Bible wants to go for us. So the Gospel of John starts all the way in the beginning and says to us that in the beginning was the Word. Genesis 1 says, in the beginning, God. So it says to us that God existed. What it doesn't say to us, and it only gives you the question, is who is this God? Who is Jesus? It doesn't say, is he there or is he not? He is there. The only question for all of us is, who is he? And so John goes on to try answer this. He says, in the beginning, God, or in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. So he's trying to marry the two and say, when you read Genesis 1 and says, in the beginning God created, Jesus was there. Jesus was there. And he is the creator. He is the creator. So already you get a little bit of an answer if you're asking the question, who is Jesus? Is that Jesus is the Word, and he was there in the beginning. He was there in the beginning. We read, and why this is important, by the way, is because he was there in the beginning, and all things therefore came through him, and apart from him, nothing was made that has been made. That's what verse 3 says. So this Jesus, in him, everything was created. Now you might ask me, Sam, we get it. Jesus is the creator God. Why is this so important? And why do you think we don't know who he is? It's because verses 10 tells us he was in the world and the world was made through him, and yet the world did not know him. So I don't assume just because he created this world, you and me included, that you automatically therefore know him. Hence the question, who is Jesus? Don't make the assumption that you know him just because he created you. He is the creator God. Yet though he created this world, the world did not know him. Now you might be like, well, that's great, Sam. The world might not know him, but we know him. We even read on, by the way, later on, that not only did the world not know him, verses 11, he came to his own, and those who were his own did not even receive him. Because you don't know him, you don't even receive him. Now, the reason, again, I went on this trajectory is because it's so, so easy to forget who Jesus is. Christmas time comes around, we can make it about so many other things. We can make it about family, which is great. We can make it about celebration. And in the year of COVID, we can make it about just rest. I just made it to December 25th. I just need to rest. I just need to take time off. I think God will understand. And I'll say to you, even when Jesus was born, they had similar issues, if not worse. If you remember clearly when Jesus was born, Herod got wind of it. And Herod sent out a decree that all the boy children must be killed. Can you imagine the sense and feeling around the time of Jesus' birth, the first Christmas all those years ago? The question of Jesus, who is he, easily takes the backdrop. Nobody in Nazareth or Bethlehem cared about who Jesus is at that time. Herod is killing firstborn children. COVID is around. The question of who Jesus is needs to take a bit of a backdrop, they might have said in Christmas time, the first Christmas.
They are killing firstborn kids. Sam, COVID is real. The question of who Jesus is surely should not make it to the top of the list. John writes, he came into the world and the world did not receive him. The world did not know him. Even those closest to him. We read of John the Baptist. He testifies. If you get to chapter 1, verse 32, it says, John testified saying, I have seen the Spirit descending on the dove out of heaven, and he remained on him. But listen to what verse 33 says. I did not recognize him, but he who sent me to baptize in water said to me, upon whom you see the Spirit descending and remaining upon him, this is the one who baptizes in the Holy Spirit. John, who was pretty much Jesus' cousin, because Elizabeth and Mary, remember, were pregnant around the same time, said, I myself did not recognize him. Even those closest to Jesus sometimes missed him. And the Holy Spirit did what the Holy Spirit does. Points John to say, that's him. That's Jesus. That's Jesus. And once the Holy Spirit does that for John, John does that for all of us, by the way. He begins to say, it's not about me, it's about him. Behold him. That's Jesus. That's Jesus. Again, finishing off, those people who don't easily recognize Jesus, John, one of them, the world, clearly, even his own people, sometimes even his family. How many times did Jesus have to have that conversation with his mom? Mom, no. It's not that time. It's not that time. No, no, no. Son, quickly, make wine. Make wine for the people. You know, Jesus having to remind them. Mother, it's not that time. Or the people coming in, your mother and your brothers and your sisters are outside, having to remind the people who his mother, his brothers, his sisters are truly. All the time. Because we so easily mistake who Jesus is. We so easily mistake who Jesus is. Now, having said that, let's look at verse 14 again. Who is this Jesus? The Bible tells us that the Word, who is Jesus, became flesh and dwelt among us. He took his place among us. And we saw his glory, the glory as of the only begotten from the Father, full of grace and truth. I think this shares a little bit light on the answer of who Jesus is. Number one, Jesus is God, the Creator. And Jesus is the one who came to dwell among us. It uses a similar word to the word of what used to happen when the Ark of the Tabernacle would used to go around and be with the disciples, and it was tented. They pitched a tent of the tabernacle amongst the people of Israel. And the Bible uses that same reference to say, this Jesus came and pitched a tent among us. And more even clearly, wants to pitch a tent within you, as you heard in his prayer. That he came and dwelt among us. Jesus is God himself, Emmanuel, with us. With us. The concept is beyond anything. It's beyond anything that God would dwell among us. Given all that we had done to God, given how we continually run away from him and push him away, and not recognize him, but he still comes in and pitches a tent among us, dwells among us. The glory as of the only begotten from God, we saw this glory. He is there to display this glory to us. Remember when Isaiah is called, and the seraphims are covering their faces with two hands, and with two they fly, and with two they cover their feet, and they cry, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. The whole earth is filled with his glory. It's like when the holiness of God spreads out. When we see that, we say, oh, that's glorious. And that's seen in the person of Jesus. It's that God himself dwelt among us and displayed his glory to us. And not only does he display his glory to us, as you heard in his prayer when I was praying earlier in John 17, he says, and I've invited you into this glory. I've shared some of that with you. I've shared some of that with you. This is who Jesus is. Now, this would be impossible, you should say. Impossible, given the fact that you and me are sinful and guilty. We have failed God. We have sinned against him, opted to push him away. And we read in this verse that Jesus takes care of that too. He comes full of grace. So gracious. Full of grace for the guilty. And also full of truth. Full of truth for the ignorant who don't know who he is, who constantly run away from him. So again this morning, I would pray, my prayer for you is you would ask the question again. What is your answer? No matter what the pressure is, because that question comes at different times. That comes at different strains. For Peter, it came when Jesus was being crucified. Aren't you his disciple? No, I don't know the guy. Who is he? This is the same Peter who, when Jesus asked him, who do they say I am? And gave that great answer. Remember? You are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Oh, great answer, Peter. A few pages later, if you turn in your Bible, now pressure cooker's on. Who is this? Aren't you with him? No, 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 I don't know that guy. I don't know who he is. The question of who is Jesus, we have to constantly be running to his word and say, sanctify us by the truth so that we can know the answer to that question, not just in our minds, but in our hearts. We can live it out constantly. Who is this Jesus? He's God, dwelt among us, full of grace and truth. That's who Jesus is. That's who Jesus is for me, for you, for all of us, whether you believe him or not. He can be that for you. He can give you the grace that you need desperately. Desperately. He exists so that you can know the Father. He dwells among us so that you can know the Father. Now, why does that matter? Why does knowing who Jesus is matter so much? You might be like, Sam, does it really matter that much? Why is John spending himself to testify about him and say, behold him? Why are all those that Jesus left behind, his disciples, so keen on making sure we get this word? Why did all the prophets and the minor prophets so keen to make sure that you read about him, that we can be sanctified by this truth? Why is that so important? Why is it so important for you to know who is Jesus? Well, let me read John 17. And if ever there was a Christmas verse, it probably is this. It's one that is also very famous, one that you can use as a scripture memory. But this is Jesus starting off his prayer, the same prayer I was reading at the beginning. This is the beginning of that prayer. Jesus spoke these things. I'm going to read from verse 17:1, but our focus is going to be verse 3. Jesus spoke these things, and lifting up his eyes to heaven, he said, Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son, that the Son may glorify you. Even as you gave him authority over all flesh, that all whom you have given him may have eternal life. Now, that's the start. That should tell you what's going to happen here, that Jesus gives authority to have eternal life. He's the one who introduces us to the Father. But listen to what he says eternal life is. This is eternal life, that they may know you, the only God, and know Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. the question of who is Jesus and the answer to that question is everything, brothers and sisters. It is everything. Everything. Well worth spending your life on. Tomorrow, ask the question again. The next day, ask it again. Who do I say he is? New Year's, ask it again. COVID, no COVID. Doesn't matter what's happening. Always ask that question and always carry with it the answer, because this is eternal life. To know God and to know Jesus, whom he has sent. That's what we're going to spend eternity doing. Knowing him. Finding out more about him. Getting to know him. It never stops. That is eternal life. You might not recognize him yet. My challenge for you is spend time in his word so that you do recognize him. The world did not recognize him. The world does not recognize him. Even the world he made doesn't. Some of us forget him, like Peter. John said, I didn't even see it was him for a second there. But then the Holy Spirit reminds me, oh no, that is Jesus. And then John says to all of us, behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. So you never graduate from having to recognize Jesus. You never graduate from having to know who Jesus is. We all have to do it. We can come the first time, or come the millionth time, or come the 100th millionth time, or the billionth time. But that's all we keep doing. We go back over and over and over and ask the question, who is this man? That the waves and the seas listen to him. He continues to awe us and amaze us. And we keep going back and say, who is he? Do I know him? Because this is eternal life, to know him. To know him and Jesus whom he sent. And Jesus allows you to know him. Allows you. He became flesh and dwelt among us. Full of grace and full of truth that you can know him. So my challenge to you this morning is again, come to the cross. Come to his word and see him, not just the baby, but see God who goes to the cross and pays for a sin that you couldn't pay for. That's the grace. That's the grace. Shows you his truth, who he is, and invites you in, seeking dwelling among you. And in last words, in Revelation, he uses the words, I stand at the door and I knock. I stand at the door and I knock, hoping that you would open. Even on this Christmas morning again, my prayer for you is open up. Whether it's the first time, and if it is the first time, the angels will rejoice, it says. If it's your first time coming to know him, the angels in heaven have a dance party going on. And again, if it's your billionth time, I think they continue to rejoice. They're back again, finding out who Jesus is. The Holy Spirit is at work in all of us, constantly pointing him to us. Don't shut him down. Don't shut him down. Don't let the flesh shut him down. Come back. Open the word. Find out again this Christmas morning. Who is this Jesus? Who is this Jesus? Let me pray for us. Lord, that question is everything. That question is everything. Who are you? Who are you? Father, thank you for sending Jesus down to earth. As a baby, as a normal man. But we all know there was nothing normal about Jesus. That the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And even as Isaiah says, that unto us a son is given. Unto us, Lord, you gave so much. We're so grateful for that. We're so grateful for it. We can never thank you enough for the gift that is Jesus. Jesus, thank you for giving up of your life, doing that which we couldn't do, that we can draw near to you, that we can dwell with you, that we can experience you, that we can know Emmanuel, God with us. For a child will be born to us, and a son will be given, and the government will rest on his shoulders. His name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Eternal Father,
Prince of Peace. There will be no end of increase to his government of peace on the throne of David and over his kingdom, to establish it and to uphold it with justice and righteousness from then on and forevermore. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will accomplish this. Lord, thank you that you accomplished it. And Father, as we enjoy and celebrate Christmas with family, all who are different places, maybe even in this different year, whether we technologically connect with people and all of that, Father, may we remember this question, and Father, fight to constantly run to your word for its answer. Learn more about who you are, and Father, enjoy you forever. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.